But right now, it's time for the Chatham County Roundup, presented by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. And right here, we've got Aaron Hall with Chatham County Roundup and our own WCHL. So how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you, Aaron. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Well, you know, we're starting a series in Chatham County where we're trying to focus on the history of Chatham County and find folks in our area who nurture and are storytellers. And like me as a little kid, I enjoyed listening to the elders, great grannies, great grandpas telling stories of how they grew up in our area. And so I have a guest today who, you know, she's a mom, she's an attorney, she's a grandmom. She's also a Chatham County historian, but I'm gonna let her tell her own story. So ladies and gentlemen, won't you please welcome Miss Brenda B. White.
Brenda, how are you?
Hi, very good, Aaron, thank you.
Well, you know, when we met, you have such a rich history between Pittsburgh, Chatham County, and Chapel Hill. Tell us about you growing up in Pittsburgh and about your history and what you know about Chatham County.
Okay, well, I lived in Chatham County and specifically in Pittsburgh all of my life, with the exception of a brief period of time when I was married to Gerald, who was in the Navy, and so we traveled some at that point. But I've always been in Chatham County, planned to stay there. Graduated from what was then Pittsburgh High School. The second to the last class to graduate was in 1969. The next, and the 70 was the last class, and then Northwood was the high school. So Pittsburgh High School class of 69 will be holding its 50th reunion this June.
Awesome.
Congratulations to you.
How about that?
And you have a last name in your history called Farrington. Anyone who lives around here is familiar with Farrington. How are you related to the Farringtons?
There is a distant relationship, and I'm not absolutely positive of where it comes from, but the family of Jesse Farrington, which is Farrington Village now, and in fact the house that is the restaurant there was their residence at the time. My eighth grade class had its class party there. I think it was a hayride, and my grandfather's name was William Farrington Bland, and that's that Farrington family. And I have a nephew who is Ward Farrington Bland, so there are members of my family who carry that, and we were related to the Jesse Farrington family.
And at one point, you were working for a law firm that's quite historic here in North Carolina. Tell us about that and how that's what motivated you to go back to school and become a lawyer yourself.
Well, I began working in 1976 with a law firm here in Chapel Hill. It was located on Rosemary Street. North Columbia Avenue, North Columbia at the corner of Rosemary. That was Adam Stein and Charles Becton were the two partners of the firm who were here in Chapel Hill. The firm was Chambers, Stein, Ferguson, and Becton with a home office in Charlotte. Julius Chambers was one of the founding partners along with Adam Stein, and this was the first integrated law firm in North Carolina. Adam Stein's son, Josh, is now the state's attorney general. In 1980, Adam became the founder and developer of the state's of North Carolina's first appellate defender's office, having been appointed by Governor Hunt to do that. And in December of 1980, Charles Becton was named by Governor Hunt to become a Court of Appeals, North Carolina Court of Appeals judge. Becton then went to Raleigh in January of 1981 when he was sworn in, and I accompanied him and was his executive assistant there for the next 6.5 years. Part of what I did when cases were appealed, the briefs and accompanying exhibits would be delivered to the judges, to the offices of the judges on the panel that would hear them. And I would look over the cases and write a summary for him of what the case was about, what kind of law it involved. Was it real estate? Was it family law? Whatever. And this particular case was delivered, and I tried to read the brief and understand it, but it appeared to me that it had been cut and pasted paragraphs out of a textbook. It just made no sense. And so I took it into his office and I said, I can't write you a digest of this because it doesn't make any sense to me. I can't tell what's being appealed. And if this person's a lawyer, I can be a lawyer. And he didn't even look up from his desk. He just nodded his head and said, I was wondering when you'd figure that out.
And that started your trek in going back to law school right here at UNC, correct?
I did go to law school at UNC, yes. Class of 1990.
Awesome.
And when you were telling me what...
And I was in my 30s at the time with a teenage daughter.
I hope everyone's listening. She did her 30s with a teenage daughter. So you were telling me that someone who is a historian and keeps track of history must have a great memory. And so that's what led me to talking to you about a very historic place in Pittsburgh that we call Chatham Mills. And I remember being a little kid and my uncles worked there because they called it the cotton mill. And so that Chatham Mills has quite a bit of history, and you know about the history, and you helped with a production called The Mill Worker, which chronicled the history and told the story of the Chatham Mills, the mill worker, and life being a mill worker. Tell us about that.
Chatham Mills was inactive now for probably about 20 years, but it had been active, I would say, at least 50 years, because my father worked there, and so did my mother, and they married in 1933, so I know that at that time the mill was active. It was a silk mill. Its product was woven labels.
Yeah, they made labels internationally, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. And they were woven silk. Nowadays, you know, most of our labels are probably computer printed and stamped on the inside of an article of clothing. But back then, they were artistic. As a matter of fact, that was the name of the company. It was called Artistic Weaving. And one of the ones that I remember was the lady doing the swan dive in the red swimsuit with the red bathing cap on her head. Yeah. And I also remember, I'm looking at your walls and seeing Carolina, and they made bookmarks with the UNC logo and with the Tar Heels. That there were labels that were sized to be bookmarks. My dad was what was called a smash hand.
Smash hand. I was going to ask you about some of those cool names of the smash hand. What's a smash hand in a labeling shop?
Well, okay, so the weaving is done by a loom. The loom has moving parts. There is a pattern that is hung on the loom, and it is threaded with the silk threads that are then follow the pattern, and that's how the label is woven. Occasionally, the threads will become tangled, and the loom will, the term that they use, the loom would smash, which meant it would become inoperable. And so the smash hands were those who came to the loom, untangled the threads, rethreaded the pattern, and fixed it such that it could go back into operation.
And I've seen some of those looms. That's some of the most intricate metal working devices I've ever seen.
Amazing.
Now, in The Mill Worker, and I will say this Mill Worker DVD, it opened up a lot of history to me. And I was mentioning to you that someone mentioned that the reason why the mill jobs became so coveted back then was at the turn of the century, from the 19th to the 20th century, the farmland had become so overfarmed that the nutrients had been stripped from the ground. So farming wasn't a viable option for employment. So that's what made the mill jobs so coveted. Amazing to just even know about that history and how the mill worker covered that. But it's some of the people that they have who made up The Mill Worker. Tell us about who wrote it, who directed it, and how they were able to get a lot of the local talent to be a part of that.
Ellen Bland, who is a teacher at the Central Carolina Community College, was teaching a class, and I believe it was called Reader's Theater. And instead of doing a final exam, they decided that they would do a play. They would do a production. And the book that was the foundation for The Mill Worker was written by Jacqueline Dowd Hall, and I believe it was entitled Like a Family, because that's what the mill workers became. They shared what little they had in terms of food, and the script that was written was by Ellen Bland and Drew Lassiter, who's also from Pittsburgh, and the cast was primarily Ellen's drama students. There were those of us from around town. I participated in it.
You sang very nicely.
Thank you.
And you wrote a few of the songs in there, correct?
I wrote a song for the mill worker that I did as I called it Working in the Mill, and I did it sort of autobiographically because my parents both worked there. I also wrote some commercial ads that we sang or were used throughout the performance, because when we would perform this, and it started out that it was just going to be a one-time performance in Chatham Mills, in the old mill building. But it became It became very popular. It became well known, and eventually we performed at several places across the state, including the art museum in Raleigh. And there we did it in the amphitheater outside. We did it at a couple of mills, one outside of Charlotte and one in Gastonia. And there was always people who would see the performance would come out to us, you know, would come find one of us who was in the production at some point and say, that was my story. That was my parents. My daddy worked in a mill. My mama worked in a mill. They met, you know, and people were always, it struck something with them as being their own histories.
Some of the people that you had in there, and, you know, living in Pittsburgh, knowing Chatham County, you had Pam Smith in there. You had the legendary Tommy Edwards, who's just an amazing musician. Jenny Ryan, all these people. I knew about Tommy, but I didn't know about all these other skills. And you had a very young John Bowman, who, this is 2 weeks in a row we're going to mention, who plays for Sarah Shook.
Mm-hmm.
So Sarah Shook's gotten two mentions here 2 weeks
we
in a row.
We got to get her, actually,
Roundup, I'm saying.
Or live and local, or just have her here for the entire day.
I agree.
Yeah.
And so it was really, that was the other story within the story, looking at the DVD, was the people of the community who came out, and by having that in the mill, some of the songs that were sang in that mill, and with the way the acoustics are in the mill, those 2 and 3 part harmonies that you all were singing were quite impressive. And yeah, not thinking much of it when you told me about this documentary, and I must say, I was like, okay, I'll check it out. I was quite impressed with the pageantry of how they present in the mill, the singing, the musicianship, and as the guy from News and Observer said, the acting, he compared it to students studying in New York, saying how they study improvisational acting. So really an unexpected treat coming out of Chatham County, Pittsburgh with this. And
yeah.
I would hope that they come back and do it again. Are there any plans to revise the mill worker? I say they should do it annually, but that's just my own opinion.
I'm sure it would have a very broad audience if it did come back. And the only thing I can say is talk to Ellen Bland and Drew Lasseter about it. But yeah, you're talking about the columnist Dennis Miller, who came to see
from
it, and
that's
he was, I believe his phrase was, he was blown away.
Indeed.
By seeing the performance, yeah.
So tell me, what is the, and we talked about this, the nuance of holding on to history and listening to storytellers. Why do you find that to be important?
As my sister and I sometimes say, there's nobody left to ask questions of. Our parents are both deceased. Grandparents have long been deceased. And as our aunts and uncles, you know, we realize that if there are questions that we want answers for, we have to ask them while there's somebody around to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens from generation to generation. As I said a while ago, the mill has been there. The significance of the mill is that it has been there for so long, and then it was closed for a good many years. But now, how wonderful it is to see it revitalized, to see new life coming into it with the facilities. There's a kidney dialysis place. The new pickle jar cafe is there. There's a farmer's market. In the summer and the spring, there's, you know, outdoor farmer's market and so forth. There's so much there that this building has new life. Now, when I was little and when my daughter was little and we would go to see my daddy and when I would go to see my daddy, I was terrified because those looms were, I thought they were alive and they were moving parts and they were loud and I thought they wanted to get me. But I also knew that if I was at the mill, I was going to see my daddy and I'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with all the wonderful changes happening in Pittsburgh, to continue to have these stories about the mill and about the very unique history of Chatham County. What do you have to say about the people of Chatham County and the makeup of what makes a community of Chatham County and Pittsburgh?
When I was growing up there, I would imagine that the population was probably less than 2,000. I don't know what it is now, but
it's,
I know that
it's
grown. I mean, it has grown not just in the town itself, but the surrounding areas, the developments. You mentioned Farrington, Briar Chapel, between Chapel Hill and Pittsburgh. It's developing to the south towards Sanford. It's developing to the north, I mean, to the west towards Dollar City. Businesses are coming. New merchants are opening up all the time. And that, again, is another thing to see a building or a facility repurposed into something new when it's been vacant for a while.
And supposedly that front area is supposed to be a performing area there where they'll do theater in the round, comedy, symphonies and whatnot. So let's hope that,
yes,
that the Chatham Mills stays the history that it is and a place for performing arts as well.
Absolutely.
Will you come back and see us again at Chatham County Roundup? And will you try and make sure that they bring back alive the mill worker?
Okay. Ellen and Drew, if you're listening, we'll be talking about this.
We're on our way to Pittsburgh. We'll track him down and we'll get him seen. Ladies and gentlemen, won't you give a hand to Miss Brenda Bland White today here
on
the Chatham County Roundup.
Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much for having me. It's been fun.
And that's been the Chatham County Roundup, made possible by Weaver Street Realty, specializing in local real estate since 1982. Every story is set somewhere. Theirs is right here. Find them online at weaverstreetrealty.com.